release an enraged bellow.
It had to be a person she trusted, a person she let into her home. They poisoned her food, Nova.
His sister pressed a hand to her heart.
Bastard!
Food was sacred to a bear, the thing by which they connected to one another and to those who would be their friends.
She'll be hungry when she wakes. Chert Vosmoy.
Valentin rubbed his face.
I forgot to pick up the food she likes from one of the Sai shops. Ah, I just wanted her safe in Denholm.
Nova patted him on the arm in that way she had of doing, as if she were 10 years older than him instead of a measly 3.
Never mind. I'll talk to Tamsin and find out what real people food she can eat.
Nova.
His sister threw up her hands.
I didn't mean anything by it, you know that. I just don't understand people who don't eat for pleasure.
Voice befuddled, she looked at him with purest confusion in normally dark brown eyes gone a deep amber.
I checked with Tamsin. Sai have taste buds, same as changelings and humans. Does it make sense to you that they'd ignore the sublime pleasures of food?
Chuckling, despite the worry gnawing his gut, Valentin threw an arm over her shoulders and led her toward the cavern. His Starlichka was safe now. No one would be able to enter her room without being seen or scented. Valentin's room was the first beyond the joyous chaos of the cavern, Silver next to him. Everyone who lived in this part of Denholm had to walk past their rooms. That hallway was normally never empty, and it would be even less likely to be so with his entire clan curious about Silver. It wasn't every day that a Sai came into Denholm. In fact, it had been 33 years since a Sai walked these stone pathways. Duay Nguyen had been mated to a Stonewater Bear pre-silence, had watched his people make the emotionless choice from a distance, sad and afraid for what it meant for his race's future. In one fell swoop, he'd effectively lost his parents, his siblings, his nieces and nephews, every Sai family member or friend. The elder had passed on before Valentin was born, but he'd heard the stories from others in the clan, knew that while Duay had lived a life many envied, he'd always carried a sadness in his heart for his people. Pavel and Yakov Stepirev, Duay Nguyen's identical twin great-grandsons, were two of Valentin's most trusted people. As for the possibility that Silver's poisoning had been masterminded by the consortium, well, Valentin would never ignore the risk that the detestable group might have gotten their claws into one of his people. He didn't think there was any real likelihood of a traitor in the clan. Stonewater might be badly fractured, but that was within their own people, would never be exposed to outsiders by either party.
"Did you kidnap Caleb's aide?"
Pavel asked as soon as Valentin entered the cavern.
"Boże moi,"
Yakov groaned, his eyes the same aqua green as his brother's, his hair an identical mahogany, and his skin the exact same shade of brown caught between light and dark. Despite countless arguments over who was taller, they both stood at 5'8", their bodies compact and strong. The only physical characteristic that differentiated them was their vision.
"If you decided on her, you should have let us know and—"
"Hey!"
Valentin rumbled in his chest to get their attention.
"Did Stasia not tell you why Silver is here?"
"Of course I did," his sister said, indignant.
"They just don't believe me."
Peter, the quietest and most introverted of them all, his hair an unusual mix of colors that echoed the hues of a glowing sunset, folded his arms.
"Why would a woman who heads Mnet and has Caleb Krycek for a boss need our help?"
A few of the teenagers skulked closer to the adult talk in the huge living room of Denholm, the natural ceiling of the cavern at least 100 feet above. The space glowed with daylight, thanks to a complex system of mirrors that redirected the beams of sunlight that speared into the cavern via natural cracks in the mountain. That light caught the teens' nonchalant progress. Valentin glared at them until they hunched their shoulders and, scowling patented teenage scowls, went back to their studies in another part of the cavern. That part happened to be next to a natural spring-fed pool, where the rain fell when it came in through the same cracks that brought them light. Sand swept out from the gleaming green clarity of the pool,
the water shallow enough that even the cubs could play in it without fear. Lush moss grew on the rocks around the pool, giving that part of the cavern the feel of being a world within a world. The rest of it was more rocky, though with its own beauty. Veins of sparkling quartz ran through the entire area, while the wall where each of the cubs placed his or her palm print when they turned 5 was a riot of color. What would Starlight think of this home he loved with all his heart and soul?
Silver needs to be cut out of the line of fire for a short period,
he told those of his seconds who'd gathered here. 3 were out of Denholm on long-range patrol missions to ensure no one got ideas about encroaching on Stonewater territory. His bears might like to live on top of one another, but they needed a wide range to wander in. Zahan, Taji, and Inara would be back in 2 weeks. Until then, Valintian kept in touch with them via various comm points the clan had hidden throughout their lands. It was Pavel who'd brief the 3 after this meeting.
Silver's grandmother knows no one can get to her here, and Silver's agreed with her verdict.
Silver Merchant listens to her grandparents?
Nova whispered, eyes wide.
She's like us?
Yes, and her babushka is as scary as ours, so don't mess with her.
You're talking to yourself, Valya?
Pavel asked slyly, his cheeks creased and his eyes glinting behind the clear lenses of the spectacles he insisted on wearing. The otherwise audacious bear was scared the readily available corrective surgery would damage his already less-than-perfect vision. Everyone laughed. Valintian's men and women were well aware of his fascination with Caleb Krychek's dangerous aide. It had been hard to miss after Valintian suddenly began volunteering to act as courier any time documents needed to be delivered to Silver, or to Caleb, because somehow it was always far more convenient for him to drop them off with Silver rather than her boss.
Don't you all have work to do?
He grumbled. Pavel raised his hand, clearly being an asshole. But Valintian happened to like this asshole.
What?
Teleporters.
Not a problem,
he told them.
Silver's grandmother confirmed Silver has some type of shielding that means even the ones who lock onto faces won't be able to find her.
It had been part of the final conversation they'd had in the hospital before Ina left Silver in Valintian's care.
Huh.
Stasia purposely bumped Peter's shoulder, her height of 6 feet only an inch less than his. Subtle, Valintian's sister wasn't. It had become obvious over the past month that she wanted to jump Peter's bones. Valintian pretended to be oblivious to both the bump and Peter's responding glance. A man did not need to know about his sister's intimate lives. Ever.
Not surprising, really,
Stasia added with a self-satisfied smile when Peter didn't break the physical contact.
She has to have picked up a few tricks working with Krychek all this time.
You want us to change the security settings?
Pavel asked, his shoulders pulling against the dark brown of his shirt when he thrust his hands into the pockets of his jeans.
I've had the technical elements running at DEFCON 5 since we haven't had any major threat warnings. DEFCON 5?
Yakov, his own outfit a black tee that hugged his biceps and dark green cargos, made a face.
Really, Pasha? Have you been playing those American hologames again?
Pavel made a rude gesture with his hand.
At least I don't lose to 10-year-old ponies from Tajikistan.
Yakov clutched at his chest.
Oh, how you wound me. To think I carried you on my back when we were children.
Used to the twins hassling each other over nothing in particular, Valintian ignored their byplay to focus on the question.
Raise it up a notch,
he said.
I want to make dead sure no one can sneak in.
It was an extra and probably unnecessary precaution. Their rugged terrain would, as always, act as their biggest line of defense. Long settled in this region, Stonewater hadn't permitted civilization to advance much farther than a dirt track that they could destroy in a matter of minutes if it came to that. The only other way to get to Denholm was to teleport in, or to hike in on foot. Good luck with the latter if you weren't trained for uneven terrain set with all kinds of booby traps. Yakov hassled his brother about hologames, but the two of them came up with the best traps when they put their minds together, the hunt a game in itself.
I'll make that happen now,
Yakov said.
We've got more than a few dominants just lazing about in the sun. Time to kick their asses.
Hey, Nova said, hands on her hips.
They earned that lazing about, and as the clan's healer, I prescribed it.
Yakov was too smart to sass Nova in a disrespectful fashion. Rather, he bowed from the waist.
I will kick their fat berry asses gently, my lady.
Pasha.
Valentin called their technical expert closer as the others began to disperse, Nova stomping beside Yakov to make sure he didn't get too enthusiastic in his ass-kicking.
Anything?
Chapter 8. The other man pushed up his glasses, his eyes a crystal-clear aqua green. Unfortunately, those pretty eyes had crap night vision. Pavel also couldn't see 2 feet without his glasses, but his brain was a razor. He also had the same dominance as his brother. Leaving him in a lower position in the clan simply because he had imperfect sight would have been a recipe for trouble. Now he shook his head, his shaggy dark brown hair several shades darker than the mid-brown of his skin. That brown came from his and Yakov's paternal grandfather, a bear who was a native of Angola. What the hell a bear clan had been doing in Angola before they moved to a colder clime, Valentin still hadn't figured out. Pavel's dedushka just laughed like a lunatic whenever he brought it up. The aqua-green eyes came from the twins' black bear mother. Duane Nguyen's genes appeared long buried, but they were there in the intuition that had marked the twins since birth. If either Pavel or Yakov told Valentin to more heavily guard a section of border, though there was no apparent reason to do so, he listened. The last time that had happened, they'd caught Selenka's wolves trying to sneak in, no doubt to spy on Stonewater. Duane Nguyen had been a foreseer.
Comm traffic shows no suspicious signals that might mean the consortium has a plant in the clan.
Pavel's eyes lit up as he slipped into geek talk.
I've bugged it 3 ways to Sunday, Pasha.
Valentin pinned him to the spot with his gaze. His second raised his hands.
I'm not breaching anyone's privacy. It's all done by a computer program. I got Brenna from Snowdancer to help me with the code. Man, that woman's brain.
He sighed.
If only she didn't have the bad taste to be a wolf and wasn't madly in love with her psycho-assassin mate, I'd seriously consider switching teams.
Valentin slapped him on the side of the head.
Focus. Right.
Pavel shook off the firm hit with bearish insouciance. Any less strength behind it and he'd have taken it as an insult to his honor.
Anyway, it's all automated. Programmed to send up a bright red flag if anyone starts getting cute trying to contact people who mean the clan harm. Nothing so far. Good. We have had 4 false negatives that tripped the slippery, sneaky keywords I programmed in,
Pavel added.
Juveniles arranging hookups outside of parental view.
The other man made a sulky face.
I almost turned them in because no boy ever wanted to hook up with a vision-challenged bear, but I restrained myself. I'll cry you a river when I give a shit.
Pavel might be vision-challenged, but he was never bedmate-challenged. Many, many bears and humans found him adorable, especially when he flashed the dimples he had in both cheeks. Whereas harder-edged Yakov hated the dimples, Pavel had been known to take shameless advantage of his. Those dimples were nowhere in evidence when Pavel said,
"You really think someone in Stonewater could betray us?"
"No, but I'd be stupid not to listen to Lucas's warnings."
A good alpha had to take every precaution to protect his clan.
Apparently,
he said,
this consortium group has a way of getting under people's skins.
You said they're all about money and power.
Pavel scratched his head.
I don't get it, Vala. I can't believe they disrupt peace just for that.
That's because you're a bear.
The people they loved were everything to them. Happiness not found in power or money. The latter 2 things were only useful because they helped protect the clan, helped keep their cubs and mates safe.
I don't know what would possibly entice a bear to consider betrayal,
Valentian added.
But I'd rather catch anything while it's still small.
Well, he could still save a clan member who'd been led astray.
We do have people who don't want me to be alpha.
It hurt every cell of his alpha's heart to say that, but it was a fact. Pavel's face grew grim, the adorable lover replaced by the powerful dominant born with the same lethal drive to protect as Valentian.
None of those people are in Denholm.
Valentian's bear, too, roared that his people were loyal, but the lost part of his clan was a splinter in his soul that reminded him not everyone loved him as bears should love their alpha.
Keep the program running. Consider it done.
Pavel folded his arms.
I also think the way you're updating the entire clan on this should help protect us. Leaves no shadows for the consortium to exploit and burrow into.
Valentian nodded. Bears were terrible at keeping secrets, except for the very rare outlier, and the secrets the last outlier had kept had been horrific.
Spread the word about Silver. Let people know outsiders might mean her harm. I know you wouldn't bring a threat into the pack.
Pavel's gaze was unusually solemn.
But I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask if you're sure she's safe.
About as safe as Nova on a rampage,
Valentian said dryly.
But she won't hurt us.
Valentian was alpha partly because he could read people, and he knew that in saving Silver's life, he'd earned a certain loyalty from her and her grandmother. Neither woman struck him as the kind who'd forget that act of friendship. Pavel nodded, taking his alpha at his word. Like all of Valentian's circle of seconds, the other man wouldn't ever hesitate to question him, but he'd also back Valentian when Valentian made a call.
I'm off shift for the next 8 hours. Unless you need me for anything specific, I'm going to go catch some shut-eye in the sun. If Yasha dares kick my ass, I'll tear him a new one.
Go for it.
The other man slept less than any other bear in the clan except for his brother, but it was a natural inclination. 5 hours and they were both revved up to go. It had made them little terrors as children. As adults, it made them annoying on occasion, but at least they didn't commit the cardinal sin of being mourning people. After Pavel left to shift into bear form and snooze in the sunshine, Valentian took a look around the cavern. His tiny targets, gangsters and all, were sitting on a plush rug in the far corner, playing a game under the watchful eye of two elders. Crossing the massive span of the cavern to reach the currently sweetly behaved group, he hunkered down.
Can I join in?
Happy faces lifted up to his. Tiny bodies shifted and small hands patted at his arms as he took his spot on the rug. He listened as they explained the rules of the game. Then, as a powerful, fascinating, dangerous telepath slept not far from him, he played with the children of his clan. Not all of them. Not the ones who'd been ripped from his heart by their parents and guardians. Aching inside at the loss that was getting closer and closer to becoming a permanent scar, he opened his arms to a cub who wanted to crawl into his lap. The boy's small body, the rapid beat of his heart, it all reminded him of the vulnerable he couldn't protect within his arms, the ones who were out in the cold. He had time yet. Not much, but some. The Human Patriot. The Silver Merchant situation concerned him. The plan he'd set in motion when she began to do an increasingly stellar job with Emnet was a good one, but the unpredictability of it chafed. He was a man used to control, and he had none in this. He just had to wait for her to consume the poison. Which outcome would now be further delayed unless she had taken her own food with her into the bear clan that was hosting her for a diplomatic stay. It had ostensibly been organized through Trinity and was linked to her position as director of Emnet. He crumpled the printout of the media release. How convenient that the Psi were beginning to inveigle their way into powerful changeling packs and clans. Whether they called it true love or dressed it up as diplomacy, it was all about getting their hooks into the strongest alphas in the world.
The second the Psi had enough operatives amongst the changelings, the Alphas would no doubt start to die, to be replaced by puppets controlled by Psi telepaths. It was how the psychic race worked. By going into the bear den as she had, Silver Merchant had proved herself as power-hungry as any of her brethren. He'd been right to target her, felt no guilt any longer at the choice. Emnet's humanitarian mission was a very clever front designed to give the Psi access to people who wouldn't normally trust them.
Patience,
he counseled himself.
She'll keep.
In the meantime, he'd work on fine-tuning the details of his next target. He wasn't a bad person. But neither was he a fool about to be railroaded into slavery masquerading as a bright new future. If he had to murder to achieve freedom, so be it. Chapter 9. Deliver to Silver Merchant at Krychek Enterprises, Head Office, Moscow. Text to read, Mr. I. M. A. Medvijonik. Work order at Astonishing Cakes, September 17th, 2082. Silver woke all at once, at full alertness. It was her usual waking process when she wasn't in a hospital bed recovering from an attempted poisoning. No haziness, no fuzziness, just sleep and then snap, wakefulness. The telepathic scan was automatic, trained into her since childhood. Merkins didn't sleep with one eye open, as was Cynet Myth, but they woke with both eyes open on the psychic plane. Her scan picked up no Psi minds in the vicinity. That was such a strange circumstance that Silver opened her eyes to take in her surroundings. Every city had a melange of minds. Some her senses glanced off, the changelings with their adamantine natural shields. Others her mind recognized as like her own. Still others it shied away from. The humans, with shields so paper-thin that if she wasn't careful, she'd unwittingly drill into their brains and drown in their secrets. Except for a limited number of warped Psi driven by perverse desires or greed, most Psi were like her and automatically bounced as soon as they detected a human mind. Having another person's entire psychic presence, thoughts, dreams, nightmares, random pieces of sensory data, echoes of a million conversations, screaming into the brain was not a pleasant experience. This was not her bedroom. In fact, it wasn't like any room she'd ever seen. The walls were exposed stone that had been smoothed out only enough for safety. It appeared as if this place had been literally hacked out of the stone. Then the ones who'd done the hacking had shrugged and said they were done. Sitting up, she looked around. The room held no threats as far as she could see, though the front door wasn't deadbolted and there was a door to the side she'd have to check. Other than the bed on which she sat, a bed covered with a soft sheet that was nonetheless not as soft as the blanket half pooled at her waist, there was an armchair in one corner beside a standing garment rack on which hung a number of clothes. An aged wooden trunk sat underneath the clothes. Within easy reach of the bed was a small side table placed against the wall. It held a digital clock, the phone she remembered sliding into the pocket of her suit coat that morning, a sealed bottle of water, and a covered tray. Leaving that for the moment, she focused on the clock. If it was correct, and a quick check on the Psi-net confirmed that yes, the clock was precisely correct, it was now 5 a.m. on the day after her last memories. As if the thought had triggered a cascade, the memories rushed back. Valentian, poison, her grandmother, the hospital, small gangster bears, muscled warmth around her, a bass heartbeat against her ear. Silver allowed the deluge to crash over her before slowly separating out the fragments until she understood where she was and why. The next thing was to test her body. Swinging her legs out over the side of the bed, she tried to stand up on the large rug on which the bed sat. A tremor. Two. But she managed to stay upright. Walking to the door beyond which she could sense no minds at all, she opened it to reveal sanitation facilities. Silver wasn't used to being dirty in any sense, and right now she felt exactly that. The antiseptic scent of the hospital clung to her, but below that was the faint hint of perspiration from when the poison first hit her. A shower was a priority. Decision made, she walked back to the door to the room, threw the bolt on this side. It was solid. Made sense in a clan of bears. From what she'd seen in the reports on those Moscow bar incidents, bears broke things without trying. Only once she felt secure did she examine the clothing. None of it was hers, but it looked as if it would fit. A few pieces appeared crisply new, while others were used but clean. In the trunk was underwear meant for someone of her size. It was still in packaging that bore the name of the boutique Silver most often utilized. Her grandmother must have sent through the new items. A quiet alert pinged against her mind, telling her she had telepathic messages to which she needed to attend. They were currently corralled in a psychic vault. The vast majority of telepaths couldn't form this type of waiting area. Only the high-gradient pure telepaths had the capacity, and even most of them found it too much work. It was, but Silver had always found the work worth the convenience. She scanned through the translucent bubbles in the vault. Each represented a separate message, kept neatly segregated from its neighbors so as not to risk a garbled crossover. For now, Silver ignored all the messages but two. The first one was from Ina.
Silver, Alpha Nikolaev organized for a Stonewater Bear in Moscow to drive some clothes to you. All are new, purchased by my own hand. It struck me during the shopping expedition that contact poisons may have been placed on your less used garments as a failsafe. I will have them tested.
The message ended, as Ina's messages always did, with nothing but a crisp silence. Silver knew her grandmother was right to be careful, but contact poisons were unlikely. She had a small, functional set of clothes that she utilized efficiently. Had a piece been compromised, she'd be dead by now. She opened the second message that had caught her eye.
Silver, Grandmother isn't saying anything, and I can't bring myself to believe the ridiculous political friendship visit to the bears touted in the media. Cousin Yvonne tells me you've disappeared from your apartment. I can feel you. Know you're alive. Are you under duress? Do you need assistance?
Ina had told Silver not to trust anyone, but this bond was one nothing could corrupt. If Arwen ever decided to kill Silver, it would mean their family was broken on a fundamental level. She replied without hesitation to the brother who'd been born at the same time as her but who wasn't her twin. Their father was the Merkant. He'd signed fertilization and conception contracts with two women. By chance, their pregnancies had occurred within days of each other, one conceiving earlier than expected, one later. Silver and Arwen had been born in the same hospital, only 10 minutes between them. He'd always been an indelible part of her life.
Arwen, she said, reaching out with her mind because her brother wasn't a powerful telepath, his psychic strength lying in another area.
To have reached her to leave the message, he must have pushed himself to the point of severe physical pain.
I'm fine. There was an attempt on my life, but it was unsuccessful. Please make sure no one gets to Grandmother.
If an enemy wanted to hurt the Merkants, taking out either Silver or Ina would do it. Eliminating Arwen would also have a catastrophic effect, but most people didn't realize that yet. Her brother responded at once, as if he'd been awake and listening for her.
I've spoken to Grandmother in the time since I sent you the message. I'm glad you didn't take her prohibition against trusting anyone to apply to me.
Silver didn't chide him for believing that she might. Arwen was on his own journey, and it was a difficult one.
Did Grandmother share all the pertinent details?
Yes, after a certain amount of discussion, whereupon I pointed out that if she didn't tell me what was going on, I'd hack your mind and find you anyway.
Recalling Valentian's words about rough and tumble, Silver chose a pair of black jeans that weren't new and that Ina was unlikely to have sent. The new pants were all sharply tailored, as per Silver's usual preference, and totally unsuitable for this rugged place. She paired the jeans with a crisp white shirt that had her grandmother's stylistic fingerprint all over it. To her brother, she said,
"You haven't been able to hack my mind since we were four."
"I haven't tried since then."
A pause.
"I've been going over the security footage. The only non-family visitors you had in the operative window were Monique Ling and Alpha Nikolaev."
"Monique only got as far as my living area, and I never left her alone."
"And you never let Alpha Nikolaev in at all."
Placing the underwear with the clothing on the bed, Silver said what Arwen couldn't.
"There is no question, then. It was family."
"The incident with the power outage 4.5 months ago means there's a gap in the security footage, so there remains a slim chance it was an outsider."
"You know as well as I do that the power cut was caused by a freak technical failure,"
Silver replied.
"The poisoner would have had to have the gift of foresight and be waiting all but outside my door to action his or her plan in such a limited time window."
"I know. I just don't want it to be family."
Arwen's telepathic voice was as distinctively husky as it was in real life, boosted by her psychic signal to sound as if he stood in the room next to her.
"I'm assisting Grandmother to get to the bottom of it."
"Forward me all the data."
"Do you want it through your comm account or in a psychic vault?"
Ending the conversation after they'd discussed the most secure method of transfer, Silver got in touch with Ina. She had no concern about waking her from sleep. Ina was the one who'd taught her how to set up the telepathic waiting room, would have activated that if she didn't want to be disturbed.
"Grandmother," she said, "I'm awake and at full psychic strength. I do feel a certain physical weakness that may take longer to conquer."
Her grandmother responded immediately.
"The doctors said it could take up to 3 days. The lab has finished analyzing the poison. It's something new, designed to debilitate rather than kill. Had you not received immediate medical attention, even after only half a glass, you wouldn't have died. You'd have been left a vegetable."
"I see."
That, too, spoke to their enemy's aims.
"It wasn't just about taking me out. It was about making me, and by extension the family, appear weak."
"As Alpha Nikolaev pointed out to me, you are Mnet, Silver. And Mnet is the most visible face of Trinity."
Silver nodded, though no one could see her, the action a subtle breach of silence that she noted with the periphery of her mind.
"Make me weak, make Mnet appear weak, hit it hard while it's not rooted enough to recover quickly from the setback."
It made a ruthless kind of sense.
"A dead director could be replaced, but one that was lingering, weak and mindless, the psychological damage would be severe."
"Think about the implications of that," her grandmother said. "Your brother is assisting me."
"Yes, grandmother."
After ending the conversation, Silver had to sit to get her breath back. Her psychic and physical reserves were very low. She needed fuel. Shifting priorities, she lifted the lid off the covered tray. No nutrition bars or nutrient drinks, but she recognized the flatbread as one she'd eaten during a long work session in another region. It was created of lentils and was deeply nutritious while not overwhelming her taste buds. Alongside sat a bowl of what appeared to be a dip. She tore the flatbread into small pieces, used it to try the dip. Not a strong taste, but it appeared nutritious. And if Valentian had wanted her permanently incapacitated, all he would have had to do was leave her on the floor of the apartment. The deliberately obdurate bear had also been sending her unexpected and inexplicable gifts of food for months. Whenever she asked him to stop, he grinned and pretended he had no idea of the identity of her
anonymous admirer with the exceptional taste in food.
All the while, they both knew he was responsible for the red velvet cake, the flavored nutrition bars, the individually wrapped nashi pears, the gourmet dinners delivered hot from a restaurant close to her office, and more. The last cake, a dark raspberry, had been accompanied by a card that named her admirer as Mr. I. M. A. Medvezhonok. Mr. I'm a teddy bear. Silver finished everything on the tray, including the two squares of dark chocolate that were bitter rather than sweet. She also drank the full bottle of water. Her body absorbed it all, her psychic abilities burning up far more energy than most people realized. She'd be hungry again in about 2 hours. Usually it'd take longer than that, but her healing body also needed fuel. She waited 10 minutes to let the food settle before she entered the shower. Once clean, she dressed and ran a brush through her hair, having found the wood-handled item in a basket of toiletries in the bathroom. There was no dryer, but Silver had no intention of walking out with her hair down. It wasn't about image, but about establishing strength, more important than ever in the middle of a predatory changeling clan known for its brash nature, especially since she'd been carried in unconscious. Sweeping up her damp hair, she fashioned it into a knot at her nape. She would let it down to dry once she was back in her room. That done, she opened the cosmetic pack she'd also found on the bathroom counter. It proved to hold the correct items for her skin tone. She used mascara and a gloss. Again, it was part of her armor. Silver Merchant was never seen with a hair out of place. She woke up with a face like a robot that would kill you while looking good doing it. That particular quote was from a newspaper article written by a human. Hyperbolic, but the description was apt. Silver did not want to look approachable or human. She wanted to be robotic perfection, a woman no one dared to cross. People didn't try to kill robots, so clearly she needed to work on that, since someone had attempted to do exactly that. She'd just realized that while she'd found socks, she'd located no footwear when there was a light knock on her door. It wasn't Valentian. She was fairly certain he didn't believe in the concept of a quiet knock, or that he was physically capable of it. Valentian Nikolaev did everything with the hugeness of the bear inside him. The knock came a second time, just as light. Chapter 10. There is no heart more generous than that of a bear changeling. The Traveler's Guide to Changelings, Revised Edition, 1897. Crossing the stone floor barefoot, Silver unlocked the door with her psychic senses at high alert. The person on the other side proved to be a tall, curvy woman with shining black curls styled to perfection and flawless makeup, her dark brown eyes thickly lashed and her lips a pop of rich red that matched the red cherries on her black dress. That black dress had a full skirt and a fitted top with a wide, shallow neckline that showed off the smooth, honey-dark skin of her toned shoulders. On the woman's feet were strappy red shoes with 2-inch heels.
"Hi, I thought you might be awake."
A beaming smile.
"I'm Nova, the Clan's healer."
"You're also Alpha Nikolaev's sister."
It'd be obvious even had she not known anything about Valentian's siblings. The two shared a striking similarity of features, though what was hard and rough-edged on Valentian was more an arresting elegance in Nova. No one would ever term her pretty. She was too uniquely beautiful for that.
"He's older, but not eldest, sister," Nova said. "Can I come in?"
She stepped inside without waiting for an answer. Silver could have stopped her, but being rude to one's hosts was not how she'd been raised.
"Am I wearing your jeans?"
"Boje moi, no!"
Deep laughter.
"Can you see these childbearing hips, as proudly described by my babushka, fitting into those skinny things?"
She winked, ebony lashes coming down over one dark eye.
"No, those are moonbeams. Her parents are a little dippy, but Moon owns that name."
Having hauled in 2 large bags with her, Nova took several small boxes out of the bags while continuing to speak so fast that Silver could have no hope of interrupting.
"But," Nova said, "while Moon has the skinny hips, I have the best taste in shoes in this entire clan, and I think we're the same size."
A minute pause before Nova gave a pained sigh.
Okay, your babushka did send some shoes, but I will only give them to you so you don't have to lie to your grandmother about receiving them. You have to promise not to wear them."
"Is there a reason for your aversion?"
The shoes are black and flat and sensible.
Nova shuddered.
Silver Merchant does not wear sensible shoes, though I bet your shoes are always comfortable.
Yes, they are.
Silver wore spike heels because it was part of the impression she wanted to project, but those heels were custom-made to ensure they never compromised her balance or ability to work.
I knew you were a woman after my own heart.
Nova whipped out a scanner from her pocket, ran it over Silver's chest area, frowned, but put the scanner back and focused on the shoes once again.
I mean, after I saw those photographs of you.
Photographs?
Oh, you know we spy on you and Krycek, just like we spy on the wolves, and you spy on us and the wolves.
Laughter rippled through Nova's words.
Have to know the other predators in the area, right?
Intriguing that the bears considered her a predator. They weren't wrong, but most people tended to see only Caleb, disregarding Silver as nothing but an efficient administrator.
You've brought a lot of shoes.
10 pairs, and that's not even scratching the surface of my collection. So if you want to borrow all of them, you can.
Thank you.
Silver ran her eyes over the various pairs on display.
While the heels would normally be my choice, it appears I'll have to navigate uneven floors. I'm not practiced at walking in heels on such a surface.
Nova nodded.
Yes, the floors are wobbly all over Denholm. I'm told that big, strong bears don't like anything too civilized.
She made a face.
No one listens to my opinion on that, not even Stasia. She told me to start wearing practical shoes.
Hands fisted, Nova pressed them against her hips, her arms akimbo.
Nova Nikolaev does not do practical shoes. I fell flat on my ass more than once when I first started practicing with heels at 14. Valentian left his ass off until I dared him to put on a pair and race me. Ha! You should have seen the fall he took.
Momentarily diverted by the idea of Valentian wearing heels, even as a boy, Silver had to force herself to return to the matter at hand.
I think I should stick to more stable shoes for the time being.
Don't even think about the sensible shoes,
Nova warned.
Try these little black half boots instead. They're comfortable, cute, and they go with pretty much any outfit.
Since Silver had already decided on those as her first choice should they fit, she sat on the bed and, pulling on a pair of thin ankle socks, slipped on the boots. When she stood to walk on them, she found the fit near enough to her size as not to matter.
These are excellent. Thank you.
Nova waved off her gratitude with a smile.
I have an ankle boot addiction, she admitted. 8 pairs at last count, 3 of them black. Anyway, I think you should have a pair of sneakers as well.
Silver didn't usually wear sneakers, but she wasn't usually in a bear clan either.
Thank you. I'll try the...
She looked between the sparkly blue ones with white glittery moons and stars and the non-sparkly ones with a colorful tropical print. Nova's laugh was almost as big and warm as Valentian's.
Don't worry, I'm just teasing you. Here.
She pulled out a pair of simple canvas shoes from a bag, the color a solid dark blue.
You should watch for that, you know. We're terrible at making fun of one another. Nothing mean, though.
The last was said very seriously, her following question without judgment.
As a side, do you understand jokes and teasing?
I understand the concept of jokes, Silver said as she changed out of the half boots and into the canvas sneakers. I don't understand teasing. What's the point?
The point is watching Valentian turn red every time I bring up the fact he once wore pink heels and fell on his butt.
Pink heels?
Silver said before she could censor her words.
Well, if I was going to make my already nearly 6-foot-tall baby brother wear a pair of heels, I wasn't going to choose black, was I?
Nova's eyes danced.
I was also definitely going to get photographic evidence for blackmail purposes in the future.
Do you still have it? The blackmail material?
Why?
Because I may have need of it,
Silver said, putting the half boots back on after confirming the canvas shoes were a good fit.
Your brother doesn't appear to listen to the word no.
A rumbling sound from Nova that had Silver coming to full psychic and physical alertness.
You're angry.
Nova's eyes were no longer brown, but a pale, glowing amber.
My brother has never taken any woman without permission.
I'm not talking about sexual consent. I'm Sai. I don't have sex.
Nova's mouth fell open, amber sliding to dark brown so fast that Silver didn't catch the transition. Collapsing next to Silver on the bed, the healer whispered,
Never? Ever?
Never. Ever.
It's true, then. The Sai reproduce only by scientific methods?
That's likely to change post-silence, but to date, yes.
Man.
Nova blew out a breath, shook her head.
Oh, man.
It's simply another form of exercise.
Silver had never had the chance to discuss this topic with someone from the emotional races. It was an aspect of changeling and human interaction that continued to escape her understanding. She'd previously predicted certain behavior, had her predictions fail spectacularly when sex was added into the mix.
Silichka, well, if you think that...
Nova patted her on the shoulder. It took Silver a second to realize Nova had softened her name into an affectionate form, like Valentian did when he called her Starlichka. Though Starlight wasn't her name either, only Valentian ever called her that. She wondered what his friends and family called him. Valya would be her guess.
Can you tell me why I'm wrong?
She asked after realizing she'd been distracted into being silent for too long.
About sex?
Nova lifted her eyebrows.
I can't really explain sex, except to say the best is with someone who knows you. Someone you can laugh with.
A soft smile.
We don't say sex, by the way, she added. We call any touch exchanged between two people who want it skin privileges.
I've heard of the concept.
Had been working with MNET long enough to pick up certain nuances of changeling behavior.
You consider it a gift to be permitted physical contact.
It was a subtle complexity in the tactile nature of the changeling race. Nova nodded.
Touch ties a clan together, and so it can never be taken for granted. Though, of course, we don't go around asking permission vocally all the time, like I just touched your shoulder. I wouldn't have done that if you'd pulled even subtly away.
It was Silver's turn to nod.
Communication isn't always vocal.
As a telepath, she knew that better than anyone. That changelings were as fluent in body language made perfect sense to her. It also brought home that she was in an environment where she was the outsider.
Would you have the time to show me around, Denholm?
Sure, but first, if you weren't talking about sexual consent, what did you mean about my brother?
Nova put the fingers of one hand on Silver's neck, having telegraphed her intent by raising a hand in that direction after they both got to their feet. Silver allowed the healer to take her pulse, breathed in and out when Nova removed a small sensor from her endless pockets and placed it on Silver's chest after asking her to undo two buttons on her shirt.
I've told Valentian not to come to my door to drop things off, but he does it constantly,
she said once Nova had removed the sensor.
I tell him not to send me random items of food in the guise of a secret admirer named Mr. I.M.A. Medvezhonok.
Nova snorted out laughing.
Sorry. Oh, I can just see Mishka doing that. Oh, Boja. Mr. I.M.A. Medvezhonok.
Wiping away her tears, Nova smiled.
Look, all that's just dominant bear behavior. You have to push back, and I think you're quite capable of that. My brother would never pull anything like that with a woman who couldn't hold her own. Only an equal.
An equal?
I'll show you around, as long as you don't overdo it,
Nova said as Silver processed the fact that one of the two most powerful changeling alphas in Russia saw her as exactly what she was, a predator as dangerous as him.
I won't attempt more than my body can handle,
Silver promised Nova when the healer looked to her for an answer.
It'll only cause further delays in my recovery.
Nova clapped a hand to her chest.
A sensible patient! Ah, I might die of a cardiac infarction!
Please don't. You're the first rational bear I've met.
Oh, I like you, Silver Merchant.
Sparkling eyes.
Come on, then.
She reached out as if to hook her arm through Silver's, halted mid-move.
No?
No.
All Psi were trained to avoid physical contact unless it was impossible. In Silver's case, it also helped keep telepathic interference at bay. Though she couldn't read changelings, all sentient beings had a surface layer of thoughts that caused a formless buzz in her head. Contact with one person, even a small group, wouldn't be painful or detrimental to her psychic reserves, but there was a tipping point. Extreme telepathic sensitivity was one of the disadvantages of being a high-gradient pure telepath. Those of her designation kept that piece of information well under wraps. It was a vulnerability that had once upon a time been used to torture pure telepaths. Just put them in a room with too many people and have those people touch the Psi continuously. At the same time, refuse to give the telepath any food to refuel his or her energy. Sooner or later, the pure telepath would run out of the psychic strength necessary to maintain his or her shields. It was simpler and safer to avoid all contact.
Okay.
Nova opened the door to Silver's room, and the two of them stepped out into the hallway.
From here, you turn left to head toward the cavern. No way to miss it. Turn right, and you'll end up in the residential section on this side of Denholm.
Voices drifted down the hallway, followed by three large juveniles. Spotting Nova, they called her name while looking at Silver with wildly inquisitive eyes. Before they could utter the questions they'd parted their mouths to ask, however, Nova gave them a quelling look. Scrunching up their faces, the trio, every one of whom outweighed Nova by at least 50 pounds, passed in silence.
That was impressive.
Healer,
was Nova's response.
Unfortunately, the look doesn't work as well on nosy adults. The last time I tried it, Pasha and Yasha picked me up and threw me from one to the other until I threatened to doctor their food with a stomach virus.
The other woman gave an exasperated sigh.
Ah, bears.
Silver barely heard her, having not expected the massive cavern into which Nova had led her. The ceiling soared high above, the area lit by the haze of early morning to reveal a fresh body of water in the distance, while around her, vines with tiny green flowers wove their way over the rock.
Does your entire clan live in this complex?
Because it was a complex. Denholm might appear rustic, literally a hole in a mountain, but she'd already noted the thread-fine wires high up on the walls, interspersed with nearly invisible silver buttons. Data connections. Signal boosters. All on the cutting edge of technology.
A lot of us do live here,
Nova said after a small hesitation.
Bears aren't as much for roaming as a lot of the other predatory changelings, but we do get a few, like my younger sister Nika, who want to go out.
A fond smile.
And with all our business interests, there are smaller groups scattered here and there.
They don't miss home?
The changeling race's clan-minded nature was both a strength and a weakness.
We take home with us wherever we go. At least 10 other bears tag along.
Nova shook her head.
Hard to find privacy sometimes, but honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way.
As if to underscore her comments, multiple voices called out Nova's name.
Later,
Nova called back.
I'm showing our guest around.
100 questions came at them, all to do with Silver.
Act like bears, not wolves.
Nova's stern statement had the entire group laughing big belly laughs. The laughter sent a couple of children rolling around on the rugs scattered across the floor in a riot of well-worn color that somehow wasn't jarring to the senses. Ignoring the cacophony, Nova led her across the vast expanse and toward what appeared to be an entrance to the cavern.
Go through this, along the passage, and you'll be outside, the healer told her. If there's an emergency and you can't reach this entranceway, head for that one or that one.
She pointed them out.
Then follow Stonewater Bears out through the back way.
I know you can't detail the escape routes, Nova, Silver said, having picked up the other woman's discomfort. It's about protecting your vulnerable against an unknown. Nova's smile returned, the healer's gentleness and almost palpable force. It was the same sensation Silver felt near empaths, as if they had an internal candle that produced a glow strong enough to encompass everyone in their vicinity. A quite different sensation from Valentian's raw warmth.
You're unlikely to ever need those back routes, Nova added. No one would get this close to the heart of the clan without having bombed the hell out of everything around us.
Since even the wolves had apparently never penetrated deep into Stonewater Land, Silver tended to believe her. About to ask another question, she felt a whisper of dizziness.
I believe I better return to my room.
Nova's gaze grew sharp.
Let's go.
It took them longer to return to the room than it had to get this far, with Silver growing progressively weaker. By the time she lay down in bed, she was so exhausted she didn't protest the fact Nova pulled off her boots and covered her with a blanket.
Spasiba,
she managed to say.
Hush now.
Nova took several more readings.
I spoke to the physician who treated you. She said the waves of exhaustion will come and go for a day or two, depending on how much rest you get. But after that, you should be as healthy as a bear.
Silver wanted to reply, but her brain had other ideas. She slept. Chapter 11.
Sneaky like a cat.
Handwritten note pasted to the back of Valentian's door. Valentian returned to the heart of the clan late afternoon and immediately caught the barest hint of a familiar scent. Frigid ice with a hidden spark of fire. Silver had passed through the cavern sometime earlier. That meant she might be awake. His bear rose to its feet inside him, its big heart thundering.
Uncle Mishka!
Rubbing his hand over the tight black curls of the little boy with skin of darkest brown who'd wrapped himself around Valentian's lower leg, he continued to walk, the changeling barnacle clamped on tight.
It's done,
he said to Peter.
The wolves have agreed to the new perimeter.
The other man's hazel eyes glinted.
Seriously? It took only one meeting? It was difficult for even Selenka to argue against a giant crack in the ground, which meant her sentries would have to grow wings and fly to complete their rounds.
Valentian rubbed the barnacle's hair again, the texture soft and bouncy against his palm.
That section was already unstable, and the little jolt we got a month back just pushed it that final bit. Flying wolves,
Peter said, his eyes warming with a humor only those close to him ever saw.
Imagine the games Pasha and Yasha would come up with. Target practice with rotten tomatoes, perhaps? Did I hear my name?
A rumpled Pavel, his hair sticking up as if he'd just rolled out of bed after a late shift, bit into a muffin.
Border with Black Edge,
Valentin explained shortly before glancing at Peter again.
Selenka wouldn't have been so cooperative if you hadn't come up with the peace offering.
Valentian had voluntarily sliced off a comparable section of his territory that backed up against the wolves' land. The other man, and one of Valentian's two best friends, shrugged.
Not like we used it anyway. Too rocky for us, but the wolves will enjoy it.
The best thing, Pavel said after swallowing his wolf-large bite of muffin, would be if we did what Dark River and Snowdancer have managed in San Francisco.
He thumped a palm against his chest, mimicked a heart pounding hard. Peter's lip curled. So did Valentian's.
Can you see any bear being satisfied with a wolf?
He shuddered.
They like to wake up at dawn in winter and do insane things like run around in the snow when every sensible changeling who doesn't need to be awake is curled up nice and warm in their bed.
It was one of his favorite places to be. Since the barnacle wasn't showing any signs of breaking off on his own, Valentin reached down and pulled him off in what would have appeared to be an unnecessarily rough action to anyone who wasn't a bear. Bears were tough. Their cubs were tough. Throwing this cub into the air, he caught the otherwise silent child's laughing body in his arms, then bounced him to Peter.
Get him back in the cage.
Bear kids were notorious for escaping school. The clan literally had to lock them in and threaten them with outlandish punishments to get them to study. Valentin's mother had once promised to shave his fur like a poodle's if he didn't stop eating his math homework. Sometimes Valentin wondered how any of them, himself included, were even literate.
And find out how he got out in the first place.
Peter threw the wriggling escapee over his shoulder and sauntered off, while not yet awake, Pavel headed to get himself a cup of coffee. Valentin went directly to Silver's room. He pretended not to see all the grinning, nosy Parkers nonchalantly poking their noses around the corner. Lifting his hand, he went to knock, then realized she might be resting. He shouldn't disturb her. He should leave right now.
Chert vosmui.
Bear and man both needed to see her, just to confirm that she was okay. Deciding to try a quiet knock and go away if she didn't respond, he lifted his hand, rapped. Damn, that hadn't been so quiet. Yet there was no response. He grabbed hold of his impatience, went to walk away. He wasn't a barbarian. He was a civilized bear. Crash! Valentin slammed into the door, broke the bolt on the other side without trying, to find Silver sitting up in bed, her hair down around her shoulders in a cool golden halo, her hand reaching down for the insulated metal bottle Nova must have given her. It was his sister's favorite way of keeping drinks cold for her patients. He was inside picking up the bottle, the door pushed firmly shut behind him to discourage his inquisitive clanmates, before he could process the shock of seeing Silver without her armor.
Here,
he said. Accepting the bottle, she unscrewed the lid and took a drink before looking at the door.
Is this how you normally enter guest rooms?
Frost licked the air. Starlight obviously didn't need her armor to be fully in control. She was doing just fine flaying him alive with nothing but her voice and her eyes. He grinned and took a seat on the bed. When she looked very pointedly at him, he pretended not to catch her meaning, focusing instead on her face. Not on that glorious hair that wasn't dead straight, as he'd always thought, but had a slight wave to it that made it appear deliciously soft. He'd stare at that later, when he'd charmed her into not throwing him out of her room.
You're still pale.
I'm 78% Caucasian. Being pale is part of the package.
Sometimes Valentin swore Silver was jerking his chain.
Paler than usual. And your eyes aren't pure ice,
he teased.
There's a little fog drifting in. I woke you, didn't I?
Her face was all soft, her plush lips making him half crazy.
Is there a point to this conversation?
I just wanted to see if you were doing okay.
His hands itched to touch her, but even Valentin wasn't that pushy. Okay, yes he was when it came to Silver, but he knew how to control himself.
Can I?
No. Silver put down the bottle on the bedside table Valentin had built with his own hands.
You don't know what I was going to ask,
he protested.
You've been staring at my hair when you haven't been staring at my face. You want to touch my hair.
Valentin tried to think like a cat again. Sneaky. After all, Lucas Hunter had a psi-mate. If a leopard could do it, a bear could do it better.
I'll shift and let you pet my fur in return.
Silver froze in place, unblinking. Bear and man both held their breath. And then she shook her head.
No, I have no rational reason to need to touch a bear changeling in his bear form.
Valentian wasn't the most subtle of creatures, but neither was he stupid. He'd caught the hesitation, filed it away. One of these days, he'd talk his Starlight into believing she really did need to touch a bear's pelt. And then he'd pet her skin. An even trade, even if he was getting pleasure from both. He smiled inside, smug. See? He could do sneaky as well as any cat.
What I do need is an organizer and a phone, Silver said, her thoughts clearly not on the same track as his. I can have the funds for the items transferred into your pack's account.
Valentian didn't take offense at her offer to pay. That was how Sai functioned, and Silver liked to follow the rules.
Hold on.
Stepping out of her room, he made sure to leave the door nearly closed as a sign to his lingering clanmates that they weren't to go barging in. Oh, they'd be cheerfully friendly about it, just ducking their heads in to say hi, but there'd be 100 of them in under a minute if he gave them the least leeway. Silver would also end up with enough food for a year. His bears thought food fixed every hurt. Most of the time, that food came with hugs and loud agreement if you were angry at something. 2 weeks earlier, quiet Peter had said hell yeah while Valentian released his hurt and anger and frustration with what was happening in the clan. Peter and Zahan, currently out on long-range patrol with Taji and Inara, were the only ones he allowed to see him that way. He and Zahan had been best friends from the cradle, Peter a natural fit for their small group when he and his family moved to Stonewater while Peter was a child. While Valentian trusted Stasia with his life and with the clan, her position as first second never in any jeopardy, she wasn't only the most dominant individual in the clan after him. She was also his eldest sister, their relationship subtly different from that he had with his other seconds. Her instinct would be to comfort her baby brother while getting angry on his behalf, while Peter and Zahan understood that he just needed to let off steam. But Silver wasn't ready for the bearish version of sympathy and comfort, so Valentian scowled at the clanmates who were oh so casually hanging around outside her door.
You all look like you need extra duties.
Oh, come on, Valya, we just want to welcome her to Denholm.
You can do that later.
He put his hands on his hips and glared. Dragging their feet, they began to slink away. More than one shot him a dirty look over their shoulders. Valentian wasn't surprised by their behavior. To have Caleb Krychek's famously icy and searingly competent aide in Denholm? His bears were beside themselves with curiosity. There had been a few raised eyebrows and 3 quiet asides to Valentian about how safe was it to have her in the clan's heart, but no one had been angry. Most understood that this was a time of change, that to stay strong going forward, Stonewater had to form friendships and alliances across the spectrum. Zoya, part of the old guard, had been recalcitrant about breaching the careful isolation that had kept Stonewater safe since the clan was first created. That is, until Valentian pointed out that the wolves were already in the process of coming to an understanding with people like Caleb Krychek. Zoya had only moved forward because she couldn't stand that the wolves might end up in a stronger position. But the upshot of her decision to take that first step was that Stonewater was adapting to this changing new world. Not too fast, however. Valentian had turned down good opportunities because Stonewater wasn't ready for too much change.